Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, Limits, let's get to Sexy Rexy Ryan's back and forth with Teddy Bruschi here on a set at ESPN. I found this interesting because I think we're getting down to where the only true Tomlin defenders are people like Rex Ryan. And when you're down to him, man, there aren't many left. Go ahead.
Much of it is on the coach.
Well, I mean, look, 100% of it is. You know why? Because they're in the damn playoffs again. Give me a break. This man right here is going nowhere and shouldn't go anywhere. He's one of the best in the league. Nobody thought this team was going to win four games, and he gets them in the playoffs. I get it. They lost five in a row, and that's absolutely atrocious. Their defense, they got to look at it this way. This ain't the same defenses. They may have to make some changes, but it damn sure ain't going to be Mike Tomlin, and it shouldn't be.
Let me use some of Tomlin's own words that he uses at those great press conferences that he has. The standard is the standard, all right? And the standard in Pittsburgh is more than just making the playoffs, is all I'm saying, Rex. And all right,
not with a JV roster.
Right, okay, you need a quarterback. Obviously, we all know how important the quarterback position was. I realize everything that Tomlin did with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, trying them both at times. We go to Russ. He coaches on his gut. I respect that tremendously, but the results aren't good enough for Pittsburgh. There are franchises you look at where making the playoffs it should be an afterthought. That's Pittsburgh. And so you got to win, and he hasn't done that.
Couple things I would say, Bob, and then I'll toss the mic over to you. One, Teddy Bruschi, even in criticizing Tomlin, is also repeating this idea that they make the playoffs every year. They don't. During this 8-year playoff win drought, they've missed three times. That's almost 40% of the time. So they don't, and when they get in, they barely get in. We just figured earlier, they got in by one game this year. They lose that game at Cincy? They're out. Number two, Rexy talking about four wins. The over-under was 8.5 for the Steelers. Great that they eclipsed that by 1.5 wins. Wonderful. But it was 8.5. Nobody was saying four wins. And then the JV roster and the quarterback situation, he has a huge hand in the roster makeup, and Russell Wilson and Fields and Pickett, all handpicked by Tomlin. Bob?
I totally agree. I mean, to say that it's a JV roster is to ignore the fact that Mike Tomlin has a say on who's on his team. He may have the ultimate say. So, you know, he can be the chef, but he's also supplying the groceries to his own meal. So that's, you know, I don't know if I agree with that at all. I think they have a lot of issues, but principally the number one is trying to find a franchise quarterback. And this is something that a lot of teams have kicked around for many, many, many years before they even get it right, if they ever do. So that's the first thing that has to change. And Mike Tomlin was the number one reason Kenny Pickett was selected as a first-round draft pick.
Clearly.
So you can say it's a JV roster, but again, who assembled the JV roster?
I don't know. I was having a side conversation with Limits there. He also was the one who absolutely went to the mat for George Pickens. There's no question
more
about
than
that.
Once.
I mean, to draft him. He was a coach willing to take a chance, and Pickens actually played pretty well the other night. I thought one of Russell's worst decisions, and he makes a lot of bad ones over these last five games, was on the last play. They actually had a chance to make it a game, certainly to cover, which I was hoping they would do, just because of what I was talking about last week. I didn't bet on the game, but because of what I was talking about last week. Bob, it was 28-14 with 7 minutes left. And they had the ball after a nice pass to Pickens, made a nice catch down the left sidelines. But then on a fourth down, he throws a ball up to a guy who's 5'3 in triple coverage in the end zone. Instead of giving Pickens another chance to make a play, Herb Street mentioned it on the air. Russ's decision making was just way off over the last month and a half.
That was a desperation attempt, and it wasn't at a part of the game where it needed to be desperate.
Right.
They needed to move the chains. And there are different play designs that would accomplish. But if you look at that whole thing from that all 22 camera, they ignore middle. You know, there are opportunities there if they ever decide to harvest them and go in there and do them, but they don't. That was like a Hail Mary almost at a time of a game when it didn't need a Hail Mary.
Now, here's another clip. I thought this was really good. I'm not always the biggest Colin Cowherd fan. And we've talked about these themes on the air before. The Steelers are trying to go back to the 1970s. Andy Weidel has mentioned it. Arthur Smith, certainly Tomlin. We're going to be a team we're going to be like the vintage Steelers and out-physical you and run on you. We're going to draft running back in the first round, draft an offensive tackle every single year if we can help it. Where are they? Getting punked by the Ravens, unable to run in any circumstance. The guy they drafted in the first round has a career playoff rushing average of 2.7 yards. And by the way, I got a tweet earlier today that longtime Steelers apologist Mark Cabali said that I said that Najee should get 3 years and $36 million. I've never said that. When he was going well this year, running better than any we had seen, I left open the possibility of bringing him back 3 years for $24 million. 24, that's $8 million a year. Now I wouldn't even do that. So I was having a back and forth with my friend Dr. Cabali on that one for completely misrepresenting what I said. Anyway, they aren't what they think they are. And they think they're big, bad, and physical, and all they do is get bullied.
And that's the thing more than anything right now. What is their identity? They haven't had one for many years.
I think they want it to be, Bob, we're the big, bad, tough Steelers, and that's why we hired Arthur Smith. We're going to do – here's the biggest joke. They thought they were going to do what the Titans did with Arthur Smith. Maybe Derrick Henry had something to do with that. I couldn't help but notice that the Ravens used one of Arthur Smith's plays. At least one of his plays work. Unfortunately, it was the Ravens who used it to make it work, was a direct snap to Derrick Henry like they used to do in Tennessee. Derrick Henry made Arthur Smith's career. That may sound harsh, but that's the way it sure seems to me, because he parlayed that into Atlanta, where he never won. And then this year was an unmitigated disaster, and it's part of the Steelers' failed philosophy. And I thought that Colin Cowherd really spoke eloquently to this, Bob. I don't know if you heard it. Is this on his podcast?
Yes. Yeah, this was on The Volume.
Here we go.
The Pittsburgh Steelers have long embraced stability, but there's a point where stability turns into stagnation. Sometimes you need to shake things up. This past week, I was reminded of Phil Knight's legendary Nike manifesto, which begins with two principles. Number one, our business is change. Number two, we're on offense all the time. Look, I'm no Phil Knight, but we're on offense all the time sounds better to me than the Steelers' mantra of we're never on offense. The league is now dominated by offensive innovation, and the Steelers are a butter churn in a world of blenders. Yeah, I respect the butter churn, historic, reliable, but look around. We need more butter fast. The sharpest minds in football, Andy Reid, Sean McVay, haven't been afraid to move on from good quarterbacks to pursue greatness. Good isn't good enough, and it never will be. The best quarterbacks in all eight divisions won their division. Old Russell Wilson isn't the answer, and neither is young Justin Fields. Think about this. The Steelers haven't beaten a top-tier quarterback in the playoffs in 20 years. That should be a neon sign. Even historically stable franchises like the Chiefs and Packers have embraced change when it was needed. And Andy Reid and Bill Belichick have been shown the door before. Nobody's untouchable. Sometimes stability doesn't mean clinging to the past. It means knowing when to adapt. And maybe, just maybe, the Steelers' butter churn could use a modern motor. It's not an indictment of Mike Tomlin's abilities. He's an incredible motivator and organizer. And we all know another team would hire him in a heartbeat. But it's fair to ask, is the lack of offensive ingenuity holding the Steelers back? Tomlin's fiery intensity has carried the team through rough patches, but intensity alone won't win Super Bowls anymore. The Steelers feel stuck, like that driverless Waymo car that made the news this week, endlessly circling the block with no destination. And to steer free, they need to take a right turn onto Quarterback Avenue or hang a left on New Coach Circle. Either way, staying stuck in neutral isn't the answer, because bragging about being the NFL's pace car every year isn't the flex they think it is. It's time to step on the gas or get off the track.
Very well said. Very well said.
And at some point, the conversation shifts to art. It just does. Go ahead, Bob.
No, offensive change, number one, is the thing. They have not really embraced offensive change in a league that is changing every single year to incorporate more offense. And they're not doing it. They still and listen, you can say that's a run game is very important. Being physical in the run game is important. Buffalo has done it. No one does it better than Baltimore. All the teams that are successful still have that. But what they also have is a quarterback who can put some fear into you as a defense. And if you don't have that, the run game is going to be taken away.
Right.
And we've seen that with their low totals. They only had 30 yards rushing in this game against the Ravens. That's not a physical offensive mindset. But again, if you don't have a threat down the field on a consistent basis with an elite quarterback, you're going to be stuck to this.
Yeah, I mean, even the Ravens good wasn't good enough. They have Lamar, but they had an almost total run offense under Greg Roman, and they upgraded. They decided, we want to get more from our already great quarterback.
And they've done it.
Let's bring in somebody else.
You know, yeah, that's what I mean. That's how you have to do it. You have to adjust.
So at some point, this conversation really does have to shift to the man running the franchise, and that is Art Rooney II. And this just is, it's simply not good enough. It's just simply not good enough. And by keeping your head coach around when there's nowhere else to really turn to pin this on, you're making a statement that you're okay with this. I don't care what, there's nothing else he could do. There's nothing else, there's nowhere else to go.
When you saw Dulac's article come out, I was really surprised how fast that conclusion
Me too.
Was made.
Yeah.
And I still have to wonder about that. Because normally they take a little bit of a time.
Right.
Is it just something preemptively to say, look, don't even bother bringing this up because it's not going to happen?
I mean, sources work in funny ways. Like I said, Jerry's as good as there is out there, right? Maybe as good as there's ever been around the Steelers, but sometimes his sources don't tell him the truth. Sometimes there's an angle for them too. Like when somebody over there told him there's zero chance the Steelers were going to draft Kenny Pickett, and Mike Tomlin only had eyes for Malik Willis. That tells me that people over there wanted it out there that, hey, the Steelers aren't taking Pickett, right? I mean, that seems obvious in retrospect. That's the way it sometimes works with sources. So who knows what could be afoot here? But until I learn something later on that the Steelers had reasons for not bringing back Mike Tomlin, I'm going to go with Art thinks this is good enough. Now, here's another guy I respect a lot. Kyle Brandt, I think he's maybe the best football commentator out there. Let's listen to what he had to say. Where was this?
This was from NFL Game Day morning on the NFL Network on Sunday.
What I'm going to talk about is not fun, but I think we owe it to the fans. During the middle of the game, in about the third quarter, I went to the trending topics to see what the most popular topics were. It was not Lamar. It was not Derrick Henry. It was not Ravens. The number one trending topic in the United States was just Tomlin. Tomlin, that is the number one. And there's a lot of idiocy that went on that trending topic if you kicked on it. So let's just stick to the facts. This was a 10-3 team that completely fell apart and lost 5 in a row to end the season. This is now 8 straight seasons without a playoff win for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And this was undignified. The first half of that game was undignified. It's also unprecedented. Chuck Noll never went more than 4 seasons without a playoff win. Bill Cowher never went more than 3 seasons without a playoff win. We have now gone 8. And you say, well, he can't figure out the quarterback. And I understand. I look around the league and I see teams with rookies and retreads and 7th-round picks winning playoff games. And there is this take, which I agree with, think we all do, that if the Steelers were ever to part ways with Mike Tomlin, there'd be 25 teams lining up to hire him. And I agree. I also think there's 25 teams in the league that would be thrilled to make the playoffs every year. It's great. We get to the playoffs. It's awesome. We can do business. We're done. But I think there is a very exclusive fraternity of teams in the league that would hate just making the playoffs every year because they stand for something different. The Steelers are not only in that fraternity, they're the president of it. 8 straight years. It's not working. It's getting worse. It was undignified last night. And whether it's talking about a trade or saying it's not working anymore and let's make a move, I do think it's time to consider a divorce. And I know that's very heavy, and we celebrate Tomlin. I have to serve the fans, and I think it's what the fans are saying.
Again, spot on in terms of the reaction of what they're doing. The words like undignified and unprecedented have never been used before.
Yeah.
But they have been used
undignified
now.
Is a good word for the first half. And I don't know if I'm sure everybody heard this. I want to play it one more time because this is, if I were someone who my heart was invested in the Steelers and I loved them and grew up with them, this would have sickened me to hear this. It sickened me. It would have sickened me to watch the game, but to hear all of America, I haven't seen the numbers. Tens of millions of people were watching the game. To hear all of America, when Kirk Herbstreit spoke the absolute truth about what we were all seeing. And I hope that Art the Second has heard this.
This was from Prime Video.
If I were a Steelers fan, the thing that would concern me just watching this first half, you're in the postseason. You're getting dominated. I don't see any fight. I don't see any pushback. It's one thing to lose XOs against a really talented offense, but where the hell is the fight? This is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. There's nothing. They're just going through the motion.
Is it unacceptable, Art, or is it not? There's only one move you can make at this point that would show that you think it's unacceptable, and that's moving on from the head coach. That's the only move you can make that shows you think it's unacceptable anymore. And I don't know if he's going to make it. It sure doesn't sound like it from Dulac's story. So that's some of the reaction just from around America. And like I said, Bob, wow, that's almost chilling, honestly, to hear the Ravens fans in the background. You know, it's like the Coliseum.
Right. And where's like, where the hell is the fight? Undignified, unprecedented. Again, have never been used. And that's exactly what the description of that game was. I don't
think
there's any way around that. And, you know, for a team that thought they could go in there and do that and then just basically fall apart as early as they did in that game. And it didn't take long. The 95-yard drive right off the bat where they basically ran it right down your throats and said, we're going to do it anyway. Stop us. And they couldn't do it. It's a bad look. But I'm just curious now what Art will say when it's time to make a statement about.
I would argue there's nothing he can say anymore. Last year he said there's a sense of urgency. We're sick of this. It needs to happen. And my addendum to that would be, or else what? It needs to happen or else what? I guess we'll find out over these next weeks and months. It seems nothing. Or else what? Nothing other than Art slamming his fist down and saying, we're still sick of it and there's still a sense of urgency. But apparently... And I honestly am out of answers other than moving on from your head coach. I don't see another answer. 412-928-9370. It happens. Bill, all you need to know is that the Patriots moved on from Bill Belichick. They pushed him out, basically. Andy Reid pushed out in Philly, and he didn't win a title there. Mike McCarthy today pushed out. He just had 3-12-4 seasons in a row before this year when things kind of fell apart when his quarterback got hurt, a little bit before that too. Even they beat the Steelers this year, by the way. It's just the one thing I would quibble with Kyle there was, again, this idea that, hey, a lot of other places it would be great to make the playoffs every year. They've missed two. They've missed 3 of 8, and the idea that a lot of people put forth of, yeah, he'd be hired in 5 minutes. Great. I'd love to see Mike Tomlin land on his feet and win. But make no mistake about this either. He's not unique there. If Sean McVay became available tomorrow, 30 teams would want him, or close to it. Kyle Shanahan, what if the Niners decided to move on from him? You think he wouldn't be hired in 1 second? How about Dan Campbell? How about Kevin O'Connell? How about Matt LaFleur? How about Dan Quinn with what he's doing? How about Andy Reid? How about Jim Harbaugh? How about John Harbaugh? I mean, I could keep going on.
Right.
The fact that Tomlin would be picked up in 20 minutes or whatever Coward said does not make him unique. There's 10 or 12 coaches across the league who would be. So what? That'd be great. Someone else would pick him up. I'd wish him all the luck in the world, Bob, but that doesn't make him unique.
No, not at all. It's become everyone who's in that circle of coaches. There comes a time when change is necessary. It's not an indictment of anything as a coach, as a motivator, as a person. All those are good. But vision sometimes has to change. Direction has to change. When you're stale, you have to address stale. So we'll see how this plays out. But for now, it seems like they're just going to go forward and make some changes. I'm not sure what changes they make. I'm not sure how they address quarterbacks. They have a lot of things to decide here in the next several weeks.
50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. What's Cooking, brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Thank you, Limits. Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. It's Pomp and Joe, and it's winding up another postmortem on the Steelers, only this one was exacerbated, is that the right word, punctuated by charges of the team quitting. Kirk Herbstreit, we've heard that clip a number of times. If you just watch the game, every highlight I watch from the first half, it's like, oh my God, they were just unprepared. Doug Whaley on the post game show on television the other night saying they weren't ready to play, and that's on the coaches and Mike T. And then there was Najee after the game saying this.
I just want to say on camera, really something that we talk about on the team that I feel like we need to do, you know, just really just staying together as a team, not listening to much of the outside noise and outside attention. I mean, that's the fastest way to break up a team. And I think that on this 4-game losing streak, I think that's what really, you know, paying attention too much of what the media say rather than just doing what we got to do. And I think that, you know, that's one of the things, the main things I feel like we could help us out, you know, because it's going to be tough. There's going to be times when, you know, you have faced some adversity, but I mean, the way you answer it is all that matters. And
wow, short clip, a lot there. He's leaving, number one. I don't think he's going to be back. Number two, he basically said, when you say the fastest way to break up a team is to listen to the outside noise, and we listen to the outside noise, he's telling me it was a fractured team, and I don't think he meant to do this, or maybe he did, but he completely indicted his head coach there. His head coach, who constantly preaches outside noise means nothing to us. It's all elevator music. We are singularly focused. Apparently you're not.
No,
apparently you're not, because you just had one guy on your team, a leader of your team, allegedly, saying that outside noise broke up your team.
Right, and that's terrible look on the head coach, on the entire team, on the leaders in the locker room of the team. For him to say that that divided them, you know, goes, yeah, you have a job to do, and it should never, ever be affected by what people say. I mean, that's just the truth of anyone who does this stuff. People say what they say. You have a job to go out and perform. And if you're that weak-minded that that kind of stuff will bother you and make a fractured locker room, then that's unacceptable to hear. And
it really is.
And it does throw everyone under the bus.
And it's a joke, really, when you think about it, if true, that what, you were mad at what somebody said on the radio or wrote in a column? You let that break up your team? Like what, guys would see a column blaming somebody and it was somebody else's fault? I mean, you're right, Bob. Weak-minded is what I would call that. But if we're to believe Najee that this actually happened, then it was a fractured team in the end, which indicts his coach on a second count. Not only were they distracted by outside noise, but also Mike Tomlin is praised very widely for being a leader of men, having a cohesive group of men who come together in pursuit of a singular goal. Well, if they were fractured, as Najee said they were, then Tomlin failed in that mission too. And yeah. You know what? I mean, we all saw it. There was something going on defense the other night. Here's another indictment of Tomlin, the communication. He couldn't even get on the same page with his offensive coordinator on certain plays at the end of the season, like the George Pickens, the interception in the end zone against the Chiefs. Artie Smith's telling us one thing, Tomlin another. The communication breakdowns left and right, if they couldn't even get that right, like what we're going to tell the media, And then we see all the communication breakdowns on defense, even when they're healthy.
Right.
You know, I gave them a little bit of an excuse going in that they hadn't been healthy. Even when they were healthy, Tomlin, the great communicator, ironically failed to have a team that communicated properly on defense, and they got embarrassed because of it.
And here's the thing. When you're in a situation where you're acknowledging that things affect you, that is a terrible look for not just him, but for everyone in that organization. I go back to two plays that I saw. Talk about communication to support your point there. This was on offense, where typically if you're going to have pooling guards or pooling tackles or pooling anyone,
yeah,
they all pull in the same direction. There were two instances where both Broderick Jones and Dan Moore pooled opposite. They came together as if they were trying to meet at center, which doesn't make any sense, and it does not indicate that they're on the same. Somebody's missing an assignment there.
Right.
So, and listen, I'm not going to just sit here and just exclusively talk to coach. Players have got to be better, too.
Sure.
I mean, this is a number one pick in Broderick Jones, and after year two, I don't know what I think about his future now. It's changing, and the same as Dan Moore. Dan Moore came into this season. A lot of people thought he was, and he was, and he's gotten backwards since then. Is that coaching? Is that him? What is it? But it's a lot of confusion is what it is.
A lot more to talk about all week long on Pomp and Joe. Limits, we'll talk to you tomorrow, my friend.
See you tomorrow, guys.
What a wonderful
Austin.
Job Limits did today,
he's
didn't
awesome.
He, Bob?
He's quick on that switchboard. He has all that stuff ready to go, too.
Is he the best producer in the world?
No, I mean, yeah.
Better than Donnie Football on the PM
he's
show?
He's standing right outside there.
Huh?
Thank you for the compliment, Bob. Through
See
green
you guys.
Bye-bye. Bye. See you tomorrow.